You are listening to 40ANM and 5, a production of 40ANM LLC. It is Friday, the 15th of March, 2013, 1735 GMT and 1235 Eastern Standard Time. Here are the highlights for this week, beginning March 11th. U.S. President Barack Obama met this week with more than a dozen corporate chief executives to seek their support for stalled cybersecurity legislation. The closed-door meeting Wednesday at the White House comes a day after top U.S. intelligence officials appeared before a Senate hearing, citing that cyber attacks and digital spying have eclipsed terrorism as the top threat to the national security. At the hearing, the officials added that although the chance of a major attack is remote in the near term, digital thefts of intellectual property are putting U.S. competitiveness at risk. President Obama issued an executive order February 12th to enable greater sharing of classified intelligence on cyber threats among qualified companies. However, facing deep opposition from industry, Congress has not passed the White House-backed legislation that would require companies to meet mandatory cybersecurity standards. Even after the bill was scaled back and the standards were made voluntary, the bill, entitled the Cyber Information Sharing and Protection Act, or CISPA, has twice failed to pass the Senate. As reported by the LA Times, one reason for the president to bring corporate executives into the White House Situation Room for such a briefing is that so classified information about how their computer networks have been compromised can be shared. According to the LA Times, the administration is trying to get support from private industry to probe systems on a regular basis so that foreign interests have a tougher time breaking in and disrupting the economy. In related news, Declan McCullough, writing for CNET, reports this week that the social networking company Facebook, which appeared in a list of corporate supporters of CISPA legislation last year, has backed away from its earlier support and does not appear among the listed supporters on the House Intelligence Committee's website. A Facebook spokeswoman told CNET that her employer prefers a legislative balance that ensures the privacy of our users. According to CNET, this follows the lead of Microsoft, which had backed away from CISPA, citing consumer privacy concerns, the day after the House approved the legislation in April 2012. Scott Charney, Microsoft's Vice President for Trustworthy Computing, commented in Declan McCullough's article for CNET that Microsoft believes that any proposed legislation should facilitate the voluntary sharing of cyber threat information in a manner that allows us to honor the privacy and security promises that we make to our customers. Google, on Tuesday, acknowledged to state officials in the U.S. that it had violated people's privacy during its Street View mapping project when it casually scooped up passwords, email, and other personal information from unsuspecting computer users. In agreeing to settle a case brought by 38 states involving the project, Google will be required to hold an annual Privacy Week event for employees. It also must make privacy certification programs available to select employees, provide refresher training for its lawyers overseeing new products, and train its employees who deal with privacy matters. Plans for each of these requirements must be developed by Google within 6 months, according to the settlement. And while the settlement also includes a small for Google fine of $7 million, complaints about the Street View mapping project have led to multiple recent enforcement actions and multiple worldwide investigations into the way the project collected personal data of private users, including a significant and ongoing case in Germany. The UK telecommunications regulator Ofcom issued a report on March 14th saying that average UK broadband speeds have hit double figures for the first time. Average residential UK broadband speeds are reported to have reached 12 megabits per second through November 2012, according to Ofcom. Its latest report into fixed-line residential broadband speeds shows that the average actual UK speed has risen by a third. Ed Richards, Ofcom chief executive, said, "Our research shows that UK consumers are adopting faster broadband packages to cater to their increasing use of bandwidth-heavy services such as video streaming. The increase in the average number of connected devices in UK homes is also driving this need for greater speed." In a story that's special to The Guardian, Miriam Elder, reporting for The Guardian in Moscow, says that the Russian Orthodox Church, which has long told its followers to give up milk and meat for Lent, with the annual period of self-denial that begins on Monday, they have asked their leaders and their flock to go one stage further. "There should be no tweeting or Instagramming of the experience, and no social media at all, in order to better cleanse the soul," according to church spokesman Vyacheslav Chaplin. "Even useful information that relates to our work and well-meaning interest clogs the brain and soul too much." Russians should take the opportunity of Lent to give up social media and look at themselves and the world around them with different eyes, the spokesman said during a press conference this week. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission this week officially approved the merger between T-Mobile USA and Metro PCS. The U.S. Department of Justice also gave a green light for the deal. In a statement, FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski said that the merger will strengthen the U.S. wireless market by moving toward robust competition and revitalizing competitors. The Justice Department, meanwhile, said in its statement that because Metro PCS is a regional provider and T-Mobile is a nationwide carrier, competition should not be harmed at the national level by allowing the companies to combine. And because Metro PCS competes in markets where all four nationwide carriers also operate, the agency also didn't see any potential for anti-competitive behavior in the newly combined company. The merger was announced in October 2012. According to the proposal, T-Mobile's parent company, Deutsche Telekom, will pay $1.5 billion U.S. in cash for a 74% stake in the company. Metro PCS's shareholders will own the other 26% of the combined company, which will be called T-Mobile. For the deal to officially be completed, the companies also need approval from the Committee on Foreign Investment, since T-Mobile is a wholly owned subsidiary of Deutsche Telekom, a German telecommunications company. And finally, the companies must also get shareholder approval to close the deal. Metro PCS said it strongly is urging shareholders to approve the deal and in a statement said it expects it to close shortly after the April 12th meeting of stockholders. You have been listening to 40 A&M in 5, a production of 40 A&M LLC. All stories for this week's podcast were reported by at least two online or print news sources or taken directly from relevant releases, with the exception of special reporting noted from the LA Times, Declan McCullough for CNET, and Miriam Elder for The Guardian. Thank you for listening. We will be back next Friday, the 22nd of March. Bye for now.